Hey there, and welcome back to this episode of the Northwest PTTC podcast series, Lessons in Leading. These episodes spotlight leaders in prevention from communities around the region and beyond. We've asked each guest to share with us a story that has made an impact on them as a leader. Listen to hear what stories and learnings they have to share. Keep track of what resonates with you as a leader, what you want to take away, and what's still circling around with what you're hearing. We'll talk about these more during the Leadership Academy. To start today's episode, I'd like to introduce Michael Powell.
My name is Michael Powell. I am a prevention and wellness grant and program manager for the state of Alaska and based in Anchorage. I've been working in wellness and prevention for well over 20 years with the state of Alaska for 20 years, and I've been in prevention prior to that. My leadership experience has been varied. It's funny that I'm being interviewed because I've often considered myself the person who helps support our community leaders and state leaders. But in that vein, I suppose I'm also sort of a leader of leaders in some ways. But my role has often been to help as a leader is to help facilitate the work that the folks in communities do. So working to make their job easier, to make their job more effective, to give them the tools and resources to do the work that they need to do. Since my role as a statewide leader, I often don't know what's going on in the communities. The folks in the community know that. So that's why I say I feel it's funny that I'm sometimes following our coordinator's lead. It's sort of part of my philosophy of leadership is to really listening to our partners and the people I work with.
Welcome, Michael. And what story do you have to share with us today?
What comes to mind most prominently was as a leader, part of my job is to go and spend time in a community to do what we call site visit, to meet with coalition or community members, to provide technical assistance and guidance. I recently did a visit to one of our rural communities for this type of a mission. And what actually happened was I became a student and discovered that really what, as a leader, what was most effective for me was to actually sit back and be the person who was learning about the community. And after learning about the community, learning about the work that was happening there and some of the priorities and some of the challenges, I felt better able to go back to my office in Anchorage and be able to support the work that that community coalition and that community leader was doing. That to me was sort of the ideal type of a site visit, where I was able to really learn more so that I could then do the kind of policy work that and promotion and advocacy work that helps to ensure that the community is able to continue doing their work. And that was a success story, I would say. I learned that it's a very difficult thing to do, that I am not able to do the kind of community work that the partners, the coalition leaders in the community do. They are amazing people. The longer I have been involved in this work, the more I have gained a deep respect and admiration for that skill that people have. And you know, part of that is knowing their community, but also there's more. It's a real dedication and a passion that people have. They wake up every day thinking, you know, this is my community and I need to make it healthy and well and have nothing more important to do. And it's really exciting to have an opportunity to work with that group of individuals. I feel that's what keeps me in this business. It's sometimes frustrating working at the state bureaucracy level and dealing with all of the slow movement of things. But the more you learn about what you can do to help keep things moving and support the work that preventionists do and wellness promoters do, that just gives you that extra motivation and drive and passion. It's where I can get my passion is from that. So that's really what I've learned about myself, is that I couldn't do this without that work. If I were locked in sort of an office pushing papers, I wouldn't have lasted this long.
Thank you for sharing. Next, let's welcome Vonetta Barton.
So my name is Vonetta Barton, and I hold a bachelor's degree in sociology and a master's degree in social work administration with a focus on children, youth, and families. In high school and college, I studied accounting, which led to an early career in the credit union industry. And then while volunteering at a shelter for homeless youth, I was encouraged by its executive director to pursue a degree in social work administration. And this was around the time where some public policy laws were being changed. So it was a great time to be involved in this body of work. And then since then, I've held leadership positions at Big Brothers Big Sisters, Washington Works, which was an innovative workforce development center, credit unions, both large and small, and in early learning. And so each organization has focused on prevention science and making a collective impact. And my most recent work in higher education and philanthropy has been centered around collaboration. My leadership experience is quite varied. At Seattle Telco, I was the training director, and I was asked to create a training department for line staff and management. At Washington Works, I was the employment director, and I led a department during a very interesting time when public policy was being made. And at Foundation for Early Learning, I began as the program director, but then was promoted to the executive director role. And that job really was to carry out our mission across Washington State. And then at the University of Washington, it was to engage community-based organizations and a new generation of social workers in the value of evidence-based interventions to make a collective impact. So that's really my work, my career.
Thanks, Vonetta. And what story do you have to share with us today?
The Early Learning Public Partnership, Library Partnership, was formed because a group of librarians were interested in working together to serve as a greater resource in their respective communities. And so they had a goal of really bringing early learning to their communities, which was also a goal of the Foundation for Early Learning. So as executive director, I led a team that fully embraced this partnership and showed the board of directors the strategic opportunities that met our organization's mission and our financial goals. And the key was really having a clear picture of what each person and organization valued in the collaboration, then providing the time and space for staff and volunteers to create activities that met our stated goals. So through regular communication, we were able to chart our progress and new opportunities. For example, our annual luncheon included early literacy statistics and encouraged patrons to utilize their public library. This event was followed by a professional development workshop several months later based on the TED Talk model, and it was held at the Seattle Public Library. So we went from a small idea to a large idea, really with the engagement of all of our partners. And so the half-day workshop attracted early learning professionals from across the state. It was a fun and engaging day, again, led by an employee with support from coworkers and a diverse group of partners. The result, we met our stated goals for the workshop, we met our stated goals for the partnership, and we met our stated goals for the organization. Well, it always comes down to communication. I would say from the experience, I learned the value of having a flexible plan. Since there are many ways of achieving a goal, having a written document allows people to see where you're going and how they can contribute. There's the interpersonal skills that are always an important piece, but that document, I think, really allows people to have something tangible to work with. And the plan, which should include a budget, does not have to be complex. Just clear about where you're going and what you want to achieve and how you know if you achieve it. Most importantly, it allows additional partners to join as your project builds momentum. So that's what I learned, really the value of a flexible plan.
Thank you, Vonetta. And next up, let's hear from Sophia Hilson.
I currently work for Washington State Healthcare Authority within the Division of Behavioral Health and Recovery as a Washington State University Prevention Fellow. The fellowship program that I am a part of, I started back in 2019 of October and was supposed to end actually at the end of July of 2020. It's a 10-month program that is meant to build workforce development in the field of prevention science. And I got offered an extension, so I am going to continue to keep working for DBHR until the end of September, which I am very excited about. And I think that that experience on its own is a huge leadership experience. I do think that Washington State is leading the way with this fellowship program and is giving people the opportunity straight out of undergrad or straight out of master's to understand how prevention is being implemented both at the state level and the community level. But in addition to that, I love taking on lots of different kinds of leadership roles. Throughout college, I was an orientation counselor, and I was a resident advisor within the residence halls on campus, and a teaching assistant. Within each of those roles, I think I took on different kinds of leadership. I think a lot of it was more with mentoring and working to promote each individual to be the best versions of themselves. At least that's what I was trying to do along the way within my leadership roles in university. And I think that kind of reflects into what we do within the fellowship as well, working in the community, working to choose healthy behaviors and promote healthy behaviors.
Thanks, Sophia. And what story do you have to share with us today?
Yeah, right away when I was thinking and reflecting on this question, I tried to think of something that was more recent and more relevant to kind of the world that we're living in. And right away, I was thinking about within my fellowship. As I'd mentioned before, it's a 10-month program and it's divided into three phases. The first phase, we are working at in Olympia, Washington at the state level, shadowing the prevention system managers. The second phase is another 3 months. We are placed out in a community that already has some sort of grant funding to help build community coalition for prevention of youth substance use. And then finally, the third phase is 3 to 4 months long, and you're placed in a community that does not have any funding. And as a fellow, you're not alone, really, because, of course, you always have the support of our supervisors at Healthcare Authority and at WSU, but also, ultimately, you are kind of alone, placed in a community that, at least for me and my experience, I'd never been there before. I didn't know, I've never lived in a rural community. So for my phase three placement, I worked in Port Angeles, Washington, and I'd never even been up that far on the peninsula before. And I think that as a leader, it really pushed me a lot because there was a lot of environmental factors happening at the same time. As I got placed out in my phase three, it was right as the stay-at-home order was coming into effect for Washington State. So back in April, I moved out to Port Angeles and I was reaching out to anybody in the community that I think would maybe also want to hear about and work towards prevention of youth substance use and realize the importance of this in our community or their community and want to do something about it. But along the way, a lot of people were turning me down and they said, like, this is not a priority. Right now we're in crisis mode. We need to make sure that cases are not going up. We need to make sure that the public is listening to our protocols that are getting put in place. And I had a really hard time for the first several months working to build this prevention coalition out in Port Angeles. It was very discouraging for a while, but because I do have such supportive fellows, other fellows within my program that I could talk to all the time and we could relate with each other on our experiences, we would just continue to push each other to keep persevering and keep working to be a servant leader in that community, no matter what it was. You know, we took the approach of what can I do in this moment to support this community where they're at and with whatever it is that they need. So that way we could also start working towards the goals that I had with my fellowship and starting a substance use prevention coalition. What I've learned about myself is I've learned lots of different skills on how to reach out to people. It's like leadership isn't about giving direction, and it's not about, you know, being the boss or anything along those lines. I learned that leadership is about meeting people where they're at and working together to use each other's strengths to build upon a common goal, especially with the goal of building a coalition within the community.
Thank you, Sophia. And next, let's welcome Debbie Thomas.
Thank you. My name is Debbie Thomas, and I have been a professional in the field of behavioral health and addiction for over 30 years. And I have two passions. One is supervision and one is leadership. I had some really good role models when I first started out, and I've really taken that opportunity to really supervise people in that same way, is that everybody, I want them to grow into their best potential. And I've had the opportunity to do that in multiple ways. I've been a director of programs. I've worked with people that are doing direct prevention services. I have worked with people that are delivering behavioral health clinical services, and most recently running an organization where I have the opportunity to be the leader.
And Debbie, what story do you have to share with us?
Yeah, so when you asked me that question, I thought about a particular person who was going to be delivering a prevention curriculum in a local school district. And I had known her in an administrative way, and I'd known her on one-on-one conversations, and I had seen her one-on-one communicate really clearly. You know, she seemed very confident. And when we asked who wanted to be involved in some things that weren't their traditional job, she had the skill set. She had the educational degree to do this. She had the eagerness to learn about the particular prevention curriculum. And I was really excited. And I think what I learned in that opportunity is we got there, but we got there with a couple of different struggles, because I evaluated her ability to do prevention work based on a different role when she was doing one-on-one things. So to take her prevention work and to go into a school system, she started coming up short to my expectations of what I thought she would deliver. And we would have some conversations where she was quiet and she was kind of shut down and she wasn't confident. And I started asking her more things. And what I realized in my learning and leadership is I had not created a safe place for her to grow in this new skill set. I had taken the former relationship and what I thought were her strengths, and I really, as a leader, set her up to not be able to feel comfortable saying to me that she had never really done group dynamics, that she had some anxiety and worry that she was going to say the wrong thing or she wasn't going to represent our organization well. So I think after we kind of reset the tone, what I realized is we needed to reevaluate and reset with each other and say, oh, you know, it is really safe to say all of those things. And we did. And my leadership style of encouraging strengths and growing on strengths was exactly what I want to always do with people. But what I learned is that I had forgotten to talk with her around where she was at that particular time. So I really, you know, that growth of creating a safe space and making sure you evaluate strengths and weaknesses on every task or every new project was my lesson learned. I need to say to every person that I supervise, and probably multiple times in a longer term relationship when you're supervising people, that you want them to work in their, I call it the sweet spot. I want them to work within their competencies and strengths, but I want permission to push them just a little bit into growth so that I can get more potential out of them and that they can keep working. And that it's important to say, you know, I'm always going to push or stretch you, but I'm open to hear that you aren't up for that task. But the goal is, you know, to make sure you're always talking about, I don't want to put you into something that you don't have any strengths in and have you fail. But I always, when I'm growing new people, to make sure that you talk with them about, they have to communicate clearly, I have to communicate clearly that it's safe and it's okay to make mistakes, and that we learn more things from our mistakes than we probably do from all our successes.
Thank you. Next, let's welcome Sean Martinez.
Yeah, well, hello, I am Sean Martinez. I am the Josephine County Prevention and Treatment Services Manager. I've been in my position for about 11 years, or with the county for 11 years. I've been in a variety of different positions. And I really started my leadership experience by becoming a volunteer. From there, I really became involved in some fundraising for Campfire Boys and Girls, and then served on the United Way campaign. And so from there, I took a position with an organization called Southern Oregon Drug Awareness. And I really had some great opportunities to learn from some great preventionists in forming coalition building, just building relationships. And then when I did come to my current position, I've been able to work with a variety of people in the community, help support and guide them, and really build some capacity in our community around prevention. I was the first certified prevention specialist in Jackson County. And right now, because of some of the leadership things that we've put in place, Josephine County has the highest number of certified prevention specialists. I'll give a little bit of a story around successful and unsuccessful, or really looking at how our perception is of ourselves when we're in a leadership role. And when I came to my position, I discovered that prevention is, it's a very large thing to wrap your hands around. And I felt like I was alone in doing the work. And in looking at how to make things grow and build some of that capacity, I looked at forming what we call the prevention specialist cohort. And the first cohort, we had 20 community members come together. The idea behind that was to really kind of form, not necessarily a coalition, but a common language around prevention in our community. And so I was very excited that we had 20 of those community members step up that had people from schools, healthcare, the county, a variety of different organizations. And it was a year-long cohort. And in that year's time, there were a variety of different trainings that happened, all leading up to people becoming a certified prevention specialist. And the first cohort was very successful. We had 10 community members become a certified prevention specialist. And looking back at it now, when we first finished that cohort and 10 people certified, which is a huge success, I also felt unsuccessful because that meant that there were 10 that did not become certified. And I think that what I learned from that experience is that not everybody needed to become certified to have that common language, to build the capacity and move prevention forward. And so, in a way it was, I felt unsuccessful, but it was very successful. And it has been so successful that we are now on our fourth cohort. And it's built of not only community members, but people from all over the state of Oregon now. I learned that sometimes as a leader, we are more critical of things that we're doing and maybe the impacts that are happening. And we don't necessarily get to see all the ripple effects that happen. Just going back over, like I said, we're in our fourth cohort now. So we've had a total of 73 people participate in the trainings. And I think that that was then very successful.
Thank you. And let's welcome our next guest, Charlene Abrahamson.
My name is Charlene Abrahamson, and I'm a Spokane Tribal member. And I'm also Colville and Coeur d'Alene Tribe, but enrolled in the Spokane Tribe in Eastern Washington. And currently, I am the Family Services Director at the Squaxin Island Tribe. And I've been in behavioral health and social services for most of my career. So prior to moving to Western Washington, in Eastern Washington, I was headed treatment up at the Healing Lodge, which is a treatment center for adolescents, primarily Native adolescents.
Thanks. And what story do you have to share with us today?
That question gave me some trouble. I kept trying to think of different examples, but I think because as a tribal person, you get to see so much leadership growing up, and often speaking to non-tribal people, I think it's hard to understand sometimes the subtlety and the weight that it carries with our leadership. So I guess in truly thinking about it and going to speaking from my heart, which we always try to do, my grandmothers and other strong women in my family, aunties, were my first leaders. And then, of course, I've had a lot of great leaders who, my uncles, great uncles, and that type of thing. But primarily, I would say my grandmothers were my first and strongest leaders. So my grandmother on my mom's side just had this way of being gentle, somewhat, but also strong. So I remember my uncle talking to me about being in trouble, and she called and he had someone else answer the phone, and she asked for him and she said, "Oh, he's not here right now." And she said, "Put him on the phone right now." And she did, and just handed the phone over to him. And that was, you know, you would see kind of a gentle person, but just with that really strong wisdom and leadership. And the reason he was telling me that is that he felt that I carried a lot of that myself. And so I think that's, and her influence on me has been the most impactful. I'm also very firm in that way, especially when I'm advocating for people. So I don't know that I always am for myself. I may walk away or that for myself, but if I'm advocating for someone, then I'm advocating for them and we are going the distance. And primarily, again, I've worked with Native people in my career and a lot with adolescents, especially at the Healing Lodge. And what we face a lot is in schooling and in all the different systems, there's a lot of poo-pooing of our creation stories and our science in our plants and medicines. And it's easy to fall down that hole and think that you're not worthy or that somehow this is less than, but really that type of science and way of thinking hinders us. And the longer we persevere, that science is validated, and we know that what we were taught by our ancestors was true and something that we can hold on to.
Thank you, Charlene. And it looks like we have time for just one more guest today, so let me welcome Ana Maria Diaz Martinez.
Again, my name is Ana Maria Diaz Martinez, and I'm an associate professor with Washington State University Extension. I have responsibility that takes me, you know, from a very local to an international level, and focused on family, strengthening families and helping them develop resiliency and working through. In terms of my leadership experience, I am the oldest of 9 children, and I think my leadership experience started very young, helping as part of the oldest and helping manage family and do some work with that. As a migrant family, there was a lot involved in terms of getting everyone in place and in order and having a family, helping my parents with such a large family, because it wasn't just the 9 children, but it was also my parents and my aunt and my grandmother that lived with us. And so we had a very large family unit. And so leadership was really important from a very young age there. Leadership has presented itself in many different ways throughout my career. And some of it has been challenging and yet very rewarding. An example of that would be very early in my career, where I was in a position of leading a large unit that was where I was the youngest. And so with that came its challenges, and how could I validate myself as a very young, early career professional in a team or in a unit that was much older and seasoned and experienced. And so that was an opportunity for me to really look at how can I engage my colleagues, how can I engage the staff, and at the same time be able to introduce different perspectives and different opportunities for us to be innovative, which was a little different from what they were experiencing before. And it didn't come without its challenges, its ups and downs, but at the end, I felt really good about that engagement process through them, where I wanted them to have leadership opportunities, and I wanted them to know that I was also learning through this process. And so never in that time did I go in saying, it's my way or no way. It was, this is our way. We're going to design and we're going to develop and we're going to negotiate what that looks like for all of us. And that was really a successful outcome for me moving forward. And in other times where I've had some leadership opportunities where it didn't really work out that well, and it was also a learning opportunity for me in that I was reminded how important it is to meet people where they're at. And even though we may have some expectations for productivity, expectations, we have deadlines, we have this and that, but if I don't meet the people I'm working with where they're at and put expectations that are not manageable, then that really it could have a very negative effect. And in this particular situation, it did. And I own that. And I think that was part of me coming into a system that was not, maybe not as progressive as I thought it could be, but also recognizing that I needed to honor the historical knowledge and the culture that was there, and find a way to have all of us come together and be able to move forward. And so with that, I was able to take a step back and say, okay, I own this and I can move forward. And I did. And we all did. And so at the end, it was a good experience. So one of the things that I learned about myself as a leader from this experience is that I am constantly in learning mode. And with any of my leadership experiences and opportunities is that we're all bringing in our strengths, our talents, and our treasures, and it's honoring that, and that we all can take a leadership role in that process. With it means that I acknowledge I might not be strong in this area, so I need to be able to rely on someone else that is. And so I can, I can allow that to happen in my learning experience. And then when it's the area that I'm strong in and that I can be effective in, is that then I can have ownership of that and I can lead and I can help engage and bring everyone along this path and along this journey.
Thank you, Ana Maria. And it looks like we're out of time for today, so I'd like to again thank our guests for joining and sharing with us, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in and listening, and we'll see you next time on Lessons in Leading.